before I start preaching. That way I know if they were awake when I started. And so if they're asleep when I finished, I know it'll be my fault and not yours.
Well, they certainly sounded awake.
Let me bid you welcome. I appreciate your attendance very, very much. We say it so often, but we also say it sincerely. It's just good, very good to get together. I know we're celebrating 50 years in this congregation. Or Christy and I, we haven't been here 50 years, but we've been here almost 36 years with this congregation. But it's just good to see so many old faces or friends, so it's just good to get together. Very, very much so. We do have some other company with us today. Austin Lake is with us back there, and when he introduced himself, I knew his grandfather, Bill Sisko. Met Bill, probably 43 years ago. He was a preacher in the East County area, but I knew Bill Sisko very, very well, the family. So it's good to see him. He is here because he wants to be sure we are advertising or our young people know about the Bible camp. So if you have any questions about the Bible camp coming up the end of July, be sure you see him before he leaves. You have any questions? We're going to talk today about friendship, and there is an outline in the bulletin. If you'd like to follow along, you'll be very welcome to do that. Got to get started because we're looking at today as kind of an old home week or a homecoming or a celebration. I'm going to read some names that I jotted down. Some of you will not recognize these names because they go back 40 or 50 years. I know all of these people, or had met them years and years ago. Like Margaret Ackerman, Lela Burke, Nan Wilson. Well, that was a trio of ladies. Now, you just say those three names, you can't help but smile. Charlie Stalkin, Don Kern, preacher here several years before me. C.B. Middleton, also a priest in this congregation. Burton and the Pruitt. Cliff Harris. Palmer and Audrey Wilson. Harry Ritchie. Frida Elliott. Adams. Remember Ralph and Dorothy Sills. Patty Agbanag. Well, every time I think of Patty Agbanag, I remember decades ago when her children and our children were about the same age, and as teenagers, sometimes they would stay out after curfew, and Patty Agbanag and I would kind of talk about that, and I'd say, boy, doesn't that just frost you, Patty? You want to stay up and just give them the dickens when they come in? And she says, oh, no, Brian, I hug them when they come in. Did you hug your kids when they come in after curfew? He says, oh, yeah, that way I can smell them. Instead of them smoking or drinking. Then I give them the dickens. Well, parents are... Oh, sorry, boys, I told that story. You guys would... No one's going to start hugging you when you come in after curfew. I think of Earl and Jean Cross. Probably others you know of, names I'm not calling, but these have all passed away. Think of Dennis and Susan Burchett. They're here with us today. But they were here long before Christy and I came. Go back years ago. Jim mentioned announcements that they're celebrating a wedding anniversary coming up on the 4th of July. Dennis always likes to tell the story about them being married on the 4th of July, that he lost his independence on Independence Day. Our lesson is on friendship today. There's an old popular song that says, people who need people, the luckiest people in the world, we need people. Those who've gone on before us. You know, when I think about my work and built up is what I'm continuing in. So I have fond memories about those, many of those names that I've mentioned this morning. There's an old definition that reads concerning friendship. A friend is one to whom we may pour out the contents of our heart. Chaff and grain together, knowing that the gentlest of hands will sift it, and they'll keep what's worth keeping. And with the breath of kindness, they blow the rest away. Friendships. Next few minutes, I want you to think of that special person you call friend. Think about the qualities that singled this person out from so many others that you know. Think about what is it that makes them friend. I'm just going to mention five times that the Bible mentions friendship. It has many other places, but let's just note these for our lesson this morning. In Job, first of all, number one, in Job chapter 6, verse 14, to him who is afflicted, boy, that happens to all of us at some time or another. We hurt. We have difficulties. But the verse continues, kindness or pity should be shown by his friends. Oh, but Job's friends were fair weather. And right now, things are not going very well for Job, and he's afflicted from head to toe with sores. He's lost his family. He's lost his property. He's in need. And his friends, rather than giving Job pity or kindness, they give him grief and rejection and accusations. In Job 16, verse 20, he says, my friends scorn me. I'm afflicted. I got troubles on every side. In Job 19, verse 14, he says, my relatives have failed me. My close friends have forgotten me. Those whom I loved have turned against me. In verse 21, he cries out. He says, have pity on me. He repeats it. Have pity on me, oh you my friends. See, Job knew how friends were supposed to act. That's the challenge for us. When we're friends, and our friend is in need, it's up to us to rally to their aid, along with perhaps many others. But when our friend is in need, boy, don't close eyes. Don't say, I can't see. Don't fold your hands. Say, I can't help. We have a friend that hurts. A friend that's afflicted in whatever way. See, Job knew they weren't acting rightly. He knew how they were supposed to act. Have pity on me. Of course, the old expression probably comes through with this illustration. If, boy, Job, if those are your friends, you don't need enemies. Your friends are acting like enemies. Definition of pity or kindness. There should have been sympathetic sorrow, compassion, kindness, consideration. When you think about your friend, that one special to you or others that are special to you. Ah, we want them to be kind to us in our hour of need. Number one. Number two, in Psalm 41, verse 9, said, even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, lifted up his heel against me. Having that verse, a friend, familiar, you're familiar with one another, you trust, meaning your friend is going to deal with you correctly and all those things that we share. Oh, we're familiar with each other, we trust each other, we reveal our secrets to one another. one I've been traveling with for 3 years, the one that has taught me and helped me, prayed for me. What would you give me for my friend by delivering him to you? They counted out to him, meaning Judas, 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him, to lift his heel again. So now we have in that same chapter, the next event is that the disciples are preparing the Passover meal. And when they are assembling together to eat that meal in verse 20, same chapter, says when evening had come, Jesus sat down with the 12. But now as they were eating, Jesus said, one of you will betray me. Judas gets up and leaves the table. It's Judas. When the Passover finishes and Jesus has instituted his own supper with the 11, he's finished and they go out to the Mount of Olives, to an area on the mountain that's called Gethsemane. Same chapter, Matthew 26, verse 15. Jesus is there praying and with the other disciples. Judas comes. Said to him, friend, friend. Wish I could understand the inflection in Jesus' voice. I just wanted, I'd like to know the tone or even the look as Judas gets closer to him. Friend? Why have you come, even though he knows? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Ah, the friend that lifted up his heel against Jesus. The one that was familiar, the one that he trusted, the one that he ate with, lifts up his heel. Disloyal, unfaithful, double-crossed, violated a trust. Friend, do we know what friends look like? So again, think about your friend. Number three, Bible pictures a friend in Proverbs 17, verse 17, as a friend who loves at all times. A friend loves at all times. Yeah, thick and thin. Friend stays. On this same occasion, on the Mount of Olives, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter declares his love or his dedication to Jesus because Jesus had revealed to them that he would be betrayed or double-crossed. Well, when Peter hears that, the Bible says in verse 35 in Matthew 26, Peter said, even if I have to die with you, I'll not deny you. And so said all the disciples. Sometimes we think only Peter said it. But all the disciples declared their love, their devotion, their dedication to Jesus. Count on me. We'll love you at all times. But friend Peter proved differently. Now they take Jesus and he goes through the trial. In this trial area, Peter is just a short way off. The story continues still in Matthew 26, verse 74. You know the story. Peter is in the enemy camp. People begin to walk by and they say, oh, you were with them. You're one of them. And Peter keeps denying. Gets to the third denial. Says, then he says, you're one of them, aren't you? Then Peter began to curse and swear, saying, I don't know the man. Oh, Peter, just a short time ago, count on me. I'll be there. Yeah, friend. But I don't know the man. And immediately a rooster crowed. And oh, by the way, when Luke records this, in Luke 22, verse 61, right at this moment, Luke says the Lord turned and this in Matthew 26, verse 75. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. He went out and wept bitterly. Oh, what did I do? When we're going through difficult times, we want friends beside us. Friendship. Friendship. Like Peter, our friends don't always do that. But you can see in your conclusion, we're going to look at a friend who meets all of these qualities and never fails. Number four, in Proverbs 18, verse 24, a man who has friends must show himself friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Friendly. If I ask you for a definition of friendly, I know you could give me one. You know, we know what friendship looks like. There's that kindly concern, that interest, that support for one another. Our friends are neighborly. They're warm-hearted. They're hospitable, social. We know what friendship looks like. When we're interested in others, they'll be interested in us. We know how to be friendly so that we have friends. Of course, the opposite of friendly is cold. Standoffish. Oh. Don't want friends. You're not going to have friends unless you're friendly. You tend to isolate yourself. You wonder, where are my friends? Well, be friendly. It says there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. We recognize that as a family virtue. I don't see my brother very often, but I know if I call him and said, Rod, he'll come a running, he will be there. I probably don't even have to explain it to him. I just call Rod, come see me. Hangs up. I know he's on his way. Family virtue. Family sticks together. We know families, not always, but we know that's what families should do. That's what families look like. But it is possible to have a friend closer than a brother. Perhaps that phrase is looking to the coming Christ. Number five, in Proverbs 27, verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Oh, the wound of a friend wounds me? We'll explain that. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Oh, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Oh, yeah. The kiss of betrayal like Judas, yeah, deceitful. Verse 9, it says, ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. You know, sometimes, I kind of put this in your notes, a friend may need to correct us when we're wrong. We need a friend to set us straight, to knock us off our high horse. We need a friend that will wound us when we have sinful pride. We need to have a friend to tell us to shape up. So I hope that when I'm always thinking, when I'm in the wrong, I expect a visit from my friend. And you should too. When you know you're out of sorts, or you're not walking in line, I hope you're thinking, oh, I know my friend's coming, and it's not going well, and hopefully it's pleasant, but he's going to wound me and get me off my high horse. I'm wrong, and that friend is going to shake me up. When you're not right, look for your friend to come and set you straight. And when that friend does, the verse 9, just like ointment and perfume delight the heart, the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight in hearty counsel. But you have to receive it that way. I have to take that counsel to heart. Remember, he's come to shake me up. He's come to knock me off my high horse. He's come to take me up, get me out of my prideful situation. He's come to put me back in the right way. Friends, I want to say welcome. I was looking for you. one thing. Oh, hearty counsel. Hearty counsel. That's the risk of friendship. Sometimes I'm not sure about if a friend comes to me if I'm out of sorts and I need to be shaped up. I sometimes wonder, they may not know how they're going to be received. How do they know whether I'm going to get mad at them or slam the door on them or they just get out of here? I don't want your hearty counsel, but they're going to come because they're my friend. That's the risk of friendship. Friends do that. Not knowing how they're going to be received because you are not in the right. Boy. Paul said in Galatians 4, verse 16, have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Oh, the risk of friendship, Paul. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to give you hearty counsel. I hope it's received. And the last, in the closing, each of these five descriptions of friendship, or in each of these, we recognize the possibility of error. The friends don't always measure up to that expectation. We've felt that in our life, your life, mine. The Bible also gives us information about a man who meets every quality of friendship perfectly. This man named Jesus shows pity on us, or kindness. He can be trusted. He loves us at all times. He's closer than a brother. He gives us hearty counsel. And in one place, and I just noted this, there's many places, but I highlight this one in your notes. In John 15, verse 13, greater love, this is the best. Doesn't get any better. Greater love has no man than this. What is it? That a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus did that. Lays down his life so we can be friends. The songs that we sang this morning reflect that friendship that Jesus wants to have with us. We sang a song that in the words it said, what am I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus. Oh, dearest friend I ever had. We sang, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. When he comes to us, we come to him with the things that hurt us and cause our heartache. And separate us, and we said, no, I come to you, and oh, he's going to help us. Not close the door. We sang a song, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No. Not one. No. Not one. So we ask the question, will you be a friend to Jesus? Jesus said to two verses later in John 15, verse 14, you're my friend. You do whatever I command you. See, friendship, salvation is conditional. We need to trust and obey. So we need to show ourselves friendly to Jesus. He's already shown himself friendly toward us. Provided everything we need spiritually to get us from here to heaven. We lack. But now we need to show ourselves friendly to Jesus by obeying his commands, by repenting and being baptized. I just want to read the words of a song, then we'll sing our invitation song. But this song in our book, so will you be a friend to Jesus, or they tried my Lord. Here's the words of the song. They tried my Lord and Master, with no one to defend, within the halls of Pilate, he stood without a friend. The world may turn against him. I'll love him to the end. And while on earth I'm living, my Lord shall have a friend. To all who need a Savior, my friend I recommend, because he brought salvation. That's why I am his friend. And then the chorus says, I'll be a friend to Jesus. My life for him I'll spend. I'll be a friend to Jesus until my years shall end. I'll be a friend. He will not leave us nor forsake us. He will measure up to every definition of friendship. Now we need to measure up too by obeying the gospel message. You're here this morning, not a member of the New Testament church. Never been baptized for remission of sin. You have that opportunity. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation for you to be a friend to Jesus. If you've heard the good news message, number one. And second, you believe it, that God so loved the world. And number three, you're willing to turn your life around. The Bible calls it repentance. And then number four, you're willing to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son before the witnesses that are gathered here. And then number five, when those four things are in place, you can be baptized for remission of sins. As Paul refers to it in Romans chapter 6, and rise to walk in newness of life. And Peter says from that point on, then we begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the invitation we extend for you to become a friend to Jesus, whosoever will may come. Let's stand together and sing the song that Ron has selected for us.